Hello and welcome once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew, and I bring you these messages in the hopes that God's Word will change your life. And if it doesn't, it isn't because of God's Word. It's because of your ability to accept it, receive it, and obey it. And we bring these messages across daily on WMCH AM 1260 radio. They air at 8:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday. You can also find these messages at the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Or you can come by the Wash and Word hand car washing business. That is our business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Powell Shopping Center. And there we hand wash your car, and that business exists for the sole purpose of keeping this ministry alive. And so if you want to support Verse by Verse Bible Teaching, simply come by and allow us to work to earn our money. And we believe that Verse by Verse Bible Teaching is the most effective way to properly equip the saints for what is certainly here and coming. And what is coming is a continued rebellion against God's Word and against God's rules. And we pray that these verse-by-verse Bible messages will not only bless you, but they will change you, and that they will bring forth a new ministry focus in your life so that you may go out and fulfill the Great Commission of winning souls for Christ. Now, being a verse-by-verse Bible ministry, we pick it up in where we left off, and we're currently in chapter 14 in the Gospel of John. And we left off in reading chapter, or rather verses 13 and 14 in chapter 14. And I'm going to reread those because we had to stop before I got a chance to explain these. And these verses certainly do take a little explanation. Let's look again at verse 13 in John chapter 14. It says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name," this is Jesus speaking, "so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, we stopped right there, and we didn't have time to expound on that, because this is one of those verses that certainly people have taken, and they have misconstrued, and they have run with it, and they have created entire ministries and denominations that are based on, if I claim it and name it in Jesus' name, it has to be done. It says so right here in verse 14. Well, I would like to add something to my last message where we left off, which of course is also beginning this message, but it ties really together. And again, if you go to washandword.com, there you can download and listen to all of the archived messages free of charge, and we encourage you to do that, especially listening to last message as we get into this one. And we talk about what Jesus said when he said, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So here's what I want to start off with saying to you. Stop praying your will, stamping it with the name of Jesus, and then telling God he has to do that thing. Okay? Just stop. Stop praying your will, stamping it with the name of Jesus, and then telling God he has to do that thing. And don't act so innocent. You do it. We all do it at times. But listen, do not lose sight of this one extremely important fact. Jesus was God, not just the Son of God. He wasn't a representation of God. He was God in the flesh. Now, if you know your Bible, and if you do study it in a full verse-by-verse format, then you will know the answer to the next question. What is God's name? I'll give you a hint. He told Moses what his name was. Do you remember? In Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And this is what you are to say to the Israelites: "I am has sent me to you." So what is God's name? God's name is I am. And in the Bible times, a name always represented a character, usually a character trait of the person. So when God says, I am represents who I am. So if a name represents character and I am represents who I am, then God's name represents his character. It also represents his heart and his will. Now hold on to that for just a moment. So listen, when you offer up a prayer to God, the magic formula isn't just throwing in Jesus' name at the end of it, but your prayer, it needs to be made in Jesus' name. That is, you need to be praying the will of God, pray the heart of God, and pray the character of God, and then it will be done. God's name represents God's character. And if you pray the character and the heart and the will of God, then yes, indeed, those things will be done. And you say, well, how do I know what those things are? How do I know what the will of God is? How do I know what the heart of God is in a particular situation? How do I know what the character of God is? Remember what Jesus said. He said, I tell you the truth, you will do greater things than these because I go away. Remember, the Spirit of God living inside of you is God inside of you. We talked about a little bit about the Trinity in our last message, and it isn't something that can be explained, and it isn't something that can be taught quickly, but the Trinity is God in three parts. And if the Holy Spirit, if part of God, if God himself resides in you, then you have the power of the Spirit of God in your life. And along with that power comes the ability to help you live and to pray righteously and correctly. So the next time you close your eyes and offer up that prayer in Jesus' name, let the Spirit formulate the prayer for you. Let God give you the words to say. Sit for a minute. We have such a tendency to bow our heads, and it's like a trigger to our mouths. Like the moment our head gets to a certain tilt downward, our mouth begins to open. It doesn't have to be that way. Bow your head, sit in silence for as long as it takes, and listen for the voice of the Spirit to formulate that prayer back to God. Remember, the Spirit searches the deep things of God. And if the Spirit will search the deep things of God, and the Spirit gives us those words to say, in fact, we don't even have to say them, because the Bible says that the Spirit will utter things that we don't even know how to speak. But if we do it that way, if we let the Spirit formulate our prayer, then I could assure you, you will be praying in the will of God, you will be praying the heart of God, and you will pray the character of God. And yes, then Jesus' words are true, that you may ask for anything in my name, my character, my will, and it will be done. Now we're going to continue on here, and the remainder of this chapter is, well, we're going to have to kind of tread lightly, because this is one of those parts of the scripture, I call them quicksand verses. And the reason I call them quicksand verses is because there are some parts of scripture that it feels like the more you try to explain them, or the more you struggle with them, or struggle to understand them, or struggle to explain them, the more you begin to get entangled, or, well, it's like quicksand. And the more you struggle, the worse it becomes. And sometimes trying to expound upon God's word is so difficult, and you have to do it so carefully, because if you start to wiggle too much, or you try to explain and struggle with getting the message across, you end up creating a quicksand mentality where it just gets worse and worse the more you try to explain. So we're going to try to get through the rest of this chapter, and I could probably do an entire 5-part series, and who knows, maybe I will, I don't know, but we're going to get into it, and we're going to see where the Holy Spirit leads. And we touched a little bit on this in our last message, but we're going to, you know, continue forward here. And again, we're not doing a complete teaching on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is so involved in John chapter 14 that it's hard to overlook how important the Spirit of God is when it comes to expounding upon John chapter 14. So let's continue on in verse 15. And it says, Jesus continuing now his we're basically in what we might call the first recorded retreat. You know, that Christian retreat, that spiritual retreat that we often take at times. And this is what he's doing with his disciples up here in the upper room. He's called them aside and he's giving final teachings. And these are very difficult teachings that he's giving right before his death. So verse 15 says this, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." I'm going to stop at verse 15 for just a minute. Now, there are often times in the Bible where a Bible teacher or just a, you know, or any Christian will take a scripture out of context and they will make it say what it is they're trying to convey, even if in the context of the scripture, it's not even at all like that. And so when you look at a scripture that says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command," am I taking that out of context if I only use that that verse as a standalone verse? Am I making it say what it wants to say? Well, I looked up the original Greek, and I want to expound upon this verse. "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And when I looked up the original Greek, you know what it translated to? Well, it translated to this: "If you love me, you will obey what I command." That's it. That is the original meaning. That is exactly what Jesus is saying. But what happens when you don't obey Jesus? Does that mean you don't love him? Because if you look at this scripture straight on, "You will obey what I command if you love me," then logic says if you don't obey him, you don't love him. But is that true? When you are disobedient, does that mean you don't love the Lord? When you sin and you do what you know you're not supposed to do, does that mean you have lost your love for Jesus? I would venture to say no, because listen, it is because of that love that you even know you're doing something wrong. You understand? It's because of that love that you have for him that you know you are sinning. And it's because of that love you repent and you confess. In fact, the opposite would be completely true. If you didn't love him, then you either wouldn't know you are sinning or you simply wouldn't care. And so just because we disobey at times, I'm not excusing disobedience by any means, but it doesn't mean that this verse is untrue. It doesn't mean that you don't love Jesus if you disobey him. Friends, we're all going to disobey him. So don't let these types of scriptures cause you to live or try to live a Christian life that is virtually impossible. We all will be disobedient. And there are too many people that take words from the Bible and they create a Christian faith that is just simply too hard to walk in, whether you're a Christian walking in it or you're an onlooker looking in at it. And this is called dogmatism or legalism. It's when you take a literal translation of a verse or a section of scripture and you have stiff adherence to the written word, meaning there is no room for the Holy Spirit to move and to really convey the heart of God when he's talking about what he has written in the word. Now, there are some verses that are unchangeable, but too many of them people are taking and they're using them to create a Christianity that's just impossible to walk in. And then when we walk in it and fail, we are so distraught that we become no earthly good for the kingdom. And this is what the devil's trying to do when it comes to scriptures like this. But the Spirit of God, which we've been really leaning upon these last few messages, is what gives us the freedom to sway a little bit around these verses. Now, I said sway, not change. Because if we don't have that ability to look at a scripture and let the Spirit open our eyes to its meaning, then yes, it will lead to legalism. And legalism never changed or saved anybody. That's the whole reason Jesus came, was to abolish the legalism the Pharisees have set up. We're going to stop right there, but we're going to pick it up again in verse 15, right where we left off in our next sermon. And we encourage you to come back and listen right here on this radio station. or go to washandword.com, where you can find out all the information about this business and this ministry. You have a blessed day.